Welcome to my podcast, New Dog, Now What? A podcast made especially for new dog owners. I'm Valerie Jane, and like thousands of others, I have recently welcomed a new dog into my world. I grew up with dogs, I love dogs, but this is the first time owning a dog myself, and there is so much to learn. Every episode, I get to welcome extraordinary, insightful experts to share information as we learn how to give our dogs the best possible lives. On today's episode, we welcome Dr. Kim Buchanan. Kim is a veterinarian practicing at Dundas West Animal Hospital in downtown Toronto. We will discuss some very important topics when it comes to dental care for our dogs. We talk about why it matters so much, when to get started, and what we as owners need to be doing regularly to maintain our dog's dental health, and signs of potential trouble. This is an episode you won't want to miss. Hi, Kim. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me again. Very excited to be here.
Dental care. This is like the topic that I have been dying to talk about. You know, it's interesting. Many of us are afraid of the dentist. with a pet, it's a whole different world and super important. And so I want to dig in and let's just jump in. There's so many questions I have, and I'm sure many pet owners listening to this will have these questions. But dental care, really, really important. Why is it such an important part of the well-being of our dogs?
Yeah, I think, you know, just to think about it, dental disease is actually the most common disease that occurs in dogs. More than 80% of dogs will develop gum disease by 3 years old. And actually, most dogs over 12 months start to show early signs of dental disease. It's super important to be aware of. And I think that a lot of dogs don't really let us look in their mouth unless they're at the vet and we're cranking their gums or their lips open. So hopefully through our discussion, I can just give you a couple of tips about things that you can do at home and what to watch for so that we can try and keep our pet's mouth as healthy as possible. Because what we're seeing at the vet clinic is we're doing these dental procedures in old dogs, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, where they come to us and most of their teeth are rotting out of their mouth. They're extremely painful. They don't want to eat. Their gums are bleeding. And once we get in there, we end up having to take out most of their teeth. So we really want to try and avoid that scenario by starting with keeping their mouth as clean as possible, as early as possible, so that we can save as many teeth. And to paint that picture, I actually wanted to bring up a quote from one of the veterinary dentists, Dr. Fraser Hale. He says, "Many animals suffer in silence for much of their lives from painful oral pathology, losing a few teeth every now and then until eventually they are all gone. And then they finally get to enjoy a mouth free of pain and infection for their last few years or months. Or, more commonly, they carry oral pathology to their grave, never knowing the joy of a mouth truly free of pain and infection," which is pretty sad.
Very sad. I mean,
yeah,
that's the one thing with pets, right? How do they communicate to us? And that's up to us as owners to make sure that we're taking care of them. And, you know, I just actually, I took a pet first aid course on the weekend and it was amazing. And I learned so much. But so much of, you know, they always say when you go to, you know, to the eye doctor, it's like it sees into your body through your eyes. And for going to this pet first aid, really discovered how important the gums are in telling you what is going on with your dog.
Yeah.
And so that familiarity and letting them be okay with you touching them and being close in there and that having that level of comfort with you in their mouths is really, really important. So I'm really excited. I mean, yeah, it's okay, I have, and whether I brought a rescue dog home or a puppy home, it's like, when do we get started and how do we do it?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I guess to start with that, it all starts at the vet clinic. You know, our exam is we always look at the mouth. So through their puppy visits, there's a couple of things we check. We'll make sure that all of their baby teeth are erupting, that they've got healthy pink gums. So taking it back to probably your first aid course, they probably taught you about the color of the gums. So it's super important to get a good idea of what your dog's gums look like so that if you're in a scenario where you think they're super tired, maybe they are not really responding to you, or you have any sort of concerns that you feel that they're very sick, the first thing you can do is check their gums. If they're paler a pale pink or white is the worst case scenario. You need to rush to an emergency hospital if that's the case. Pale pink can suggest a lot of things, but also if they are dry, so gums should be nice and moist. So stick your fingers in their mouth and feel how moist they are. That's how they should be feeling all the time. And if they're a little bit dry, then that could suggest that they're dehydrated. With puppies, we want to make sure that all of their baby teeth are erupted. Sometimes baby teeth won't erupt at all, and that could be an issue. The other thing is we check their bites. So some dogs can have underbites or overbites, and also they can have a condition called a cleft palate, so an opening at the top of their mouth that we have to address immediately. And another common thing to always look out for, and your vets should be looking for this, is by about 6 months of age, they should be having all of their adult teeth erupting about 6 to 7 months. So that should mean that their baby teeth should have already left. You shouldn't have double copies of any sort of tooth. And a common baby tooth that likes to stick around, especially in smaller breed dogs, is the fang teeth. So the baby fang teeth or the canine teeth. And what will happen is if they stick around, they're actually in the way of where the adult tooth should go. So it's going to push the adult tooth into a position it shouldn't be in. Also, because it's going to be right against that adult tooth, that's a perfect spot for food to get caught, which allows bacteria to form, which allows plaque to form, which then leads to this hard, calcified, what's called tartar, that is super hard to get out, and really need a professional cleaning to get that tartar out. So that can actually accelerate dental disease. So if the baby teeth are still hanging around, what we like to do is when you bring your dog in for their spay or neuter procedure, we recommend taking those baby teeth out at that time. They do need to be under full general anesthesia to remove a tooth. It can be a painful procedure, so they should never be awake for that. And you want to make sure that you're getting out the full root so that that adult tooth can happily grow into its normal spot.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea to do it at the same time when you're bringing them in.
Exactly, yeah.
Get it done all at once. So we're talking about six, seven months is when that switch happens. Is that like doing when we have puppy teeth, should we be doing any care?
I would not do any sort of care with them except for training when they're puppies, because their gums are super sensitive with their baby teeth and they're going through a teething phase just like a baby would. So that's why puppies are always, you know, biting things and wanting to chew on things, because it is a form of self-soothing for the pain that they could be feeling through losing their baby teeth or through the growing. So I would just say when you're, you know, training your dog with positive reinforcement, I started with my own dog with sit, give him a treat. Okay. Check your teeth. And I lift up and I put my fingers along his teeth and then I give him a treat. And so he's learning that me putting my fingers in his teeth is a positive thing because he'll get a treat. And that's actually the first step to training them for toothbrushing. So I would just start with the fingers in their mouth, gently going all along their teeth when they're puppies. And then around the 6 to 7 month mark, when they have their full adult teeth in, that's when you can slowly do a gradual progression with the teeth brushing. So start off with, I like finger toothbrushes. So you find this little toothbrush that goes over your finger and you just glide along all of the teeth and give them a treat. Great. And then slowly through time, you make that interval longer and maybe hang around on one tooth a little bit longer, giving them a treat, getting them used to those kinds of things. And then the other thing to get them used to is a pet toothpaste. So pet toothpaste is different from human toothpaste. Please do not give your dogs human toothpaste. Human toothpaste has bleach in it. So as humans, we know, we're told, do not swallow that. Bleach is bad. But you can't tell a dog that. Obviously, they're going to swallow it. So pet toothpaste does not have bleach in it. And it's safe for them to swallow. So you could even get them used to the taste of the toothpaste by putting it on your finger and allowing them to lick it off. You could even put the toothpaste a little bit on their teeth and they can lick it off of their teeth. And then that can do a really good slow progression to then putting it on a toothbrush and starting to brush their teeth. And if you think you can graduate from a finger toothbrush, the next step would be a pet toothbrush that actually has a longer handle from, you know, a human toothbrush, so that you can reach into the back there in the back molars. That's kind of hard to get at to really work on those teeth as well.
I've got the toothbrush chicken flavored.
There you go. Good job. Yeah, I think there's chicken, malt. There's a bunch of gross flavors.
When do we start this? Like, what's our frequency of this? What does this look like?
Yeah, so ideally you'd start it when they have their adult teeth. And so you can start that around 6 to 7 months. And again, just make it a gradual transition. Usually they're not going to have major tartar buildup until after a year of age. So you've got a good couple of months there to just really make it a super positive experience. Hopefully your dog is pawing at you every morning to brush their teeth. That would be the ideal scenario. So that's when you can start. In terms of how often you do it, you know, the recommendation is to do it every day, just kind of like you and I brush our teeth every day. And maybe if you skipped a brushing, you can feel a little bit of fuzzies on your teeth. Same thing happens for dogs. They get the exact same thing. They can get cavities. They get plaque buildup. Then they get tartar. And they just don't show us. And like, I know we said this before, but dogs are stoic. They're not going to tell you when they've got a toothache unless it's a major fracture of the tooth or major bleeding or anything like that. So it's going to be up to us to keep on checking in their mouth. And also your vet. Your vet should be able to guide you about how they think their oral health is going. The other thing, if you find that you're one of those people that has a hectic schedule and maybe you can't brush their teeth every day, that's okay. There's other things that you can do. So a really big one to know about is a dental diet. And I actually recommend this to all of my smaller breed dog patients and cats. Cats are super important. And any of the dog owners out there who have cat siblings for their puppies, I would say cats get really affected with dental disease too. So dental diets can really help because cats are not as amenable as puppies are to toothbrushing. So with dental diets, it's a hardened kibble and it's formulated to be a little bit tougher to break down than your average dry kibble. And basically that is the mechanical aspect of toothbrushing. So they're crunching down with their molars and really rubbing off the tartar every time they eat. So they're brushing their teeth every time they eat. So that's a good alternative if you can't do the toothbrushing every day, which don't worry, that's a lot of people, including myself. Unfortunately, I hate to admit that, but dental diets are there. And then the other thing to consider is something called Healthy Mouth. So it's a water additive that you add to the water daily. And it's kind of the chemical aspect. So it's the mouthwash. Basically what it does change the color of the water to a green tinge, but it changes the pH of the oral cavity so that it makes it an unfavorable environment for bacteria to form. That can slow down tartar progression as well. A little tip for that one is if you don't want to make up the concentration every day, what I do is I make a 2-liter jug of water with the allotted concentration and I stick it in my fridge and I just replace their water daily from that. The only caveat to that is just letting your house guests know that's not for them to drink.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. And that's happened to me before. So, and then the other thing you can do is promoting chewing. So chewing is such an important thing I think all dog owners should know about. So chewing is a great way for them to brush their teeth as well. Obviously they're focusing more on their molars, but that is where they get the majority of their tartar buildup for sure. So the good thing a good tip for pet owners is when you're at the pet store or if you're coming to the vet clinic, looking for products that have something called a VOHC label. And what that means is it's a badge from the American Veterinary Dental College saying, hey, we've done independent research on these products and we believe that this product is helpful to your pet's dental health to control whether it's tartar or plaque buildup or whatever, if it's a mechanical side of it or the chemical side of it, they're going to tell you that this is worth your money. So Greenies is a good one. There's Dental Chews, Kong, the rubber Kong. I love those activities because it's hard enough for them to bite down, but not too hard where they're going to fracture their teeth. And that's something to be really careful about with bones, hooves, compressed rawhide, so multiple hard layers of rawhides, nylon bones and antlers. All of those things are really hard surfaces. And if your dog chews on those, they do have a high chance of fracturing their teeth. And that's an emergency dental. You got to come see your vet for that. We have to decide if the tooth needs to come out, or is it, if we want to save the tooth, do we refer you to a veterinary dentist to consider something like a root canal? That's usually how that goes. And then just as a couple of other things, tennis balls, although they're great for retrieving, they can actually wear down your pet's teeth a lot. So rubber balls, usually without the abrasive tennis cloth material, is safer to use there. And then try and avoid pig ears as well. They tend to have a high bacterial contamination and can cause diarrhea, vomiting, that kind of thing. So those are all the things that you could do at home. But even with doing that, dogs still need to have their teeth professionally cleaned, just like you and I have to go to the dentist once a year, maybe twice a year, to get our teeth cleaned. So do our dogs. What we use in actual dental procedures is an ultrasonic scaler that goes 1,000 RPMs. So they do have to be sleeping for it. It is under general anesthesia. It is not considered safe if they're not sleeping. In order to do the ultrasonic scaler, because an important part of cleaning is not just getting the tartar off the surface of the tooth, but also under the gum line, because that's where most of the disease is going to be. The tartar is going to go under the gum line and start to eat away at the root of the tooth. And that's what ultimately causes the tooth to fall out or be caused to get extracted, because the root is compromised. So it's super important to make sure we're doing the ultrasonic scaling cleaning, and then we do a polish, and then we actually put a sealant on as well. So we paint the teeth with this sealant that you can think of it like a shield for the tooth against tartar. So for usually lasts about 12 months, it's going to stop that tartar from latching onto the tooth and creating that big plaque formation. And then another part of the dental procedure with us is we do dental x-rays, full mouth x-rays. And that's super important to do as well, because like I was saying before, you know, just because the tooth might look normal on the surface of the tooth, there's a lot going on under the gum line. So evaluating the roots with dental x-rays is very, very important to evaluating the whole oral cavity.
No, I think, and what you're saying is so important is, you know, this is like us as humans, when we're going to a dentist, we're going to somebody that is trained, that has the tools. You talk about getting into the gums. That's why we floss our teeth. So if we're going to get, you know, there's a pop-up cleaning, a dog cleaning, that might not be the right thing. Like, make sure that this is something that you're doing with your vets is what I'm hearing, and making sure that there is a general anesthesia.
And we have cases where we have been tricked by dental disease, where the dog has gotten surface teeth cleaning, and the mouth doesn't look that bad, but they're not eating. They're extremely painful. There's a really bad smell, and we can't figure it out because their teeth look great. But what's happened is the tartar hasn't been removed under the gum line. And so now they have all of these tooth root abscesses that have been tricked by over the surface, it looks clean. So please make sure that you're getting a professional cleaning done. And with general anesthesia, that is something, you know, that you should have a discussion with your vet. With general anesthesia, we like to do blood work prior to, making sure that your dog's liver and kidney are okay for anesthesia. They can handle that. We also listen to their heart, make sure there's not a heart murmur. And we even just tailor everything, consider general anesthesia with any sort of condition that your dog has. And we'll make a good recommendation if we think that it's worth it to do general anesthesia, which, to be honest, the whole point of this is to try and get dogs in when they're younger, healthier, don't have kidney disease or liver disease as a senior, and try and get their teeth clean so that they don't lose their teeth down the road. And actually, dental disease can cause kidney disease and liver disease, because these two organs have to continually filter out bacteria that is ultimately coming from the mouth.
You're saying exactly why it's so important. And I think it's often overlooked. I hate to say that, but I think we worry about their you know, their nails, and we worry about their grooming and taking them to get their vaccines. But dental care is that ongoing thing that we have to be taking care of. And how often are you doing dental exams? Like, is it an annual thing?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. On their annual wellness exams, we always look at the teeth and pay particular attention to that and really hone in to see if maybe we can increase the home care or if a professional is cleaning is needed. And we tailor the recommendations of how often your dog needs a professional cleaning based off of what we're seeing, the breeds. I mean, I didn't even talk about that, but the breeds that are more prone to dental disease are your brachycephalic breeds. So the short nose dogs like bulldogs, pugs, boxers, the cats, Himalayans and Persians, and also smaller breed dogs. They're so prone to dental disease because they've got a small jaw, not a lot of room for all their teeth to erupt, which means overcrowding, which means great spots for food to get caught and for bacteria to cling on and start that tartar formation.
Yes, you got to do these tools. And I love that you provided alternatives. I think some people listening might be like, I'm not going to brush my dog's teeth every single day.
I know. And I hope they feel a little bit better that I'm one of those people. I do try as much as I can, but I also put in those other options.
I think it's possible. Right. You have to be realistic. And so you talked about like adding that, you know, the healthy, I think it's healthy, mouthy to the water. And you talk about, you know, making sure that they're chewing toys. Is it doing things in combination or is one alone good enough? Or would you recommend like kind of a mix of things?
Always do a combination. Like I was saying before, the toothbrushing is going to target your mechanical side of it. So rubbing the tartar off, but then the mouthwash or, you know, the healthy mouth water additive, that kind of thing, that's going to attack the chemical side. So changing the pH of the mouth so that we don't really want bacteria to hang around in the mouth.
As someone that sees pets every single day, is there anything else that you think would be really valuable that people know or anything that people can be watching for? Like, as I mentioned, you know, we talk about the gums and take that first aid. I realize like the gums are like really give you sight to like things like shock and like how their bodies and organs are functioning. So valuable. And you gave the suggestion of actually taking a picture of your gums so that you can always reference it.
Yeah.
But are there other things that you would want people to know when it comes to dental care?
Yeah, for sure. So one, actually, just as a side note for the more emergency situation, you can always press your finger on their gums and then lift, and their gums will go white, but you'll notice that they shortly come back pink color, like their normal color. And you can actually count how long that takes. So you do 1/1000, 2/1000, 3/1000. Basically, that should be returning to its normal pink color at the very maximum two seconds or the 2/1000 count. And if it's taking a lot longer, that's a really good indication for you to get to an emergency as well. Obviously take this in stride with all, you know, what's going on with your dog, if they're not eating, that kind of thing. But other things to look out for with, you know, if there is some sort of dental disease going on. So redness along the gum lines with the bordering the tooth and the gums, if it's a little bit more red than the rest, that is gingivitis. So that is a sign that there is bacteria under the gum line that is angering that gum. And, you know, it will just continue to keep on going down and invade the roots and cause issues. Bad breath is a huge one. People will always say, hey, is there something I can give my dog for their bad breath? Well, I think we need to address why they have bad breath. So that's going to be a discussion with your vet to do an oral exam. Consider, do they need a professional cleaning to remove all that tartar? That's usually the first step. And then after that, we continue with the healthy mouth at home, the water additive to continue making it so that we don't get more tartar formation. Other things, you know, severe signs is going to be if you see bleeding from the mouth or pain. So rub your hands along your puppy's sides of their mouth. And if you notice that they teeth chatter, so their jaw goes up and down really quickly, they start to drool or they pull away really quickly if they're well trained to be for you to touch their mouth. And so that's a little bit abnormal for them. Those are all signs of pain. But you know, because dogs are stoic, other signs of pain could be maybe when they pick up their food, they drop it and it's a particular side, or it could be both sides. that could suggest that there's a toothache there and they don't want to put pressure on it. Facial swelling is a big one. So a very common thing that we see is something called a tooth root abscess. So that's when the dental disease has progressed so much that the tartar has reached the root, the bottom of the root or the top of the root, and has now caused a big pocket of abscess or bacteria. And it's eating away actually at the jaw. And you can start to see, not always, but you can start to see facial swelling. So the sides of their face below their eyes will be swollen, or maybe on their bottom jaw, it's swollen. So that's a big indication that they should come see us. And then also excessive drooling. That's a really big one. If you just see that they're constantly drooling, that could be oral pain for sure. If they're losing weight, or maybe they don't want to eat their food as much as they should, that could be a really good sign. And that's actually a huge one in cats. So we track dogs and cats' weights at their annuals. And if we start to notice a gradual decrease in their weight loss, it's something to consider. Do they have optimal oral health?
That's good to know. Yeah.
And I did want to say, if people are feeling a little bit apprehensive about general anesthesia and professional cleaning, talk to your vet. They should be able to really guide you and make you feel comfortable with that.
Yeah. So I really appreciate you coming on, Kim. You're always so interesting and you provide so many tactical tools. So thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. I love being on here. I love spreading the word. Tell all your friends. Dental health is super important.
Thanks for listening to this episode of New Dog, Now What? If you know someone with a new dog in their life, please be sure to share this episode with them and follow along on Instagram @newdoglifeca. Thanks for joining.